Dude, what are you doing in your geek cloak? We gotta paint the egg sack.
Before you do, there's something down there you must see. Alone.
What's down there?
Only what you take with you.
Okay, all right, come on. Show me this stupid thing.
Your purple paint and brush. You will not need them.
This better be good.
He has much anger in him, like his father.
Was I any different when you taught me?
He is not ready.
So, hi. Welcome to Venture Bros. Venture Bros. The podcast. I'm your host, always Brian Dressel. With me as, well, not always. Because I'm left without either one of my regular co-hosts. We still have Mr. Matt the Pink Panther Dykes coming in from Leeds.
I can play that on the piano. Or I used to be able to.
I'm sure you still can. I believe in you.
Yeah. Used to really get stuck at the bit where it goes...
Oh, yeah.
You used to screw that up.
But yeah.
Oh, there
Matt
you go.
Is still...
Then you just go with the keyboard, then that's easy.
Yeah, I mean, everyone can do that part. but Matt's still filling in for Mr. Graham Mason, who is doing a great job as father to his son.
We assume.
I've seen him a few times. He looks happy. His son's adorable. And then Nick couldn't be here this week because his wife and him had plans. So my wife is filling in.
Hello.
Miss Chewy, the Yogi Bear Show Darso.
Yogi Bear Show?
See, this is when I mentioned earlier, you don't listen to our shows, do you?
No, I know you did that. I just didn't know that. I mean, I'm just the show, I'm not any of the characters?
No, the nicknames this season are just the names of the whole show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I mean, that's been your nickname of all time. That's how nicknames work, right? Matt's always been known as the Pink Panther Show.
Yeah. It was his favorite show growing up.
Yeah.
I did actually like it quite a bit, to be fair.
I did like the Yogi Bear show.
See, look.
I was always like, oh my god, baskets.
That's why people have, you mean picnic baskets? hey, boo boo. Anyhow, I feel like this season my nickname game has really just kind of fallen to pieces. But I'm just going to keep plowing forward because it's fun.
I think the nickname game last season fell apart when halfway through, like, yeah, we've run out of racist old time, and we've run out of non-racist old timey ones.
Yeah, that one really fell apart. I loved that one in theory, but yeah, it turns out a lot of old timey insults are racist, so.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense when you think about
it. It's really frustrating.
It really is.
I mean, just so many casual phrases we grew up with, and we're like, oh.
Oh, that's where that came from.
Oh, I need to do, what?
Damn it.
And then the other option is sexist insults. And
yeah,
then,
those are just still around, though.
Yeah.
That's why I go with good old-fashioned 60s cartoon shows. so this
Nothing
week...
Nothing racist about them.
Well, let's not go down there. all right, so this week we are talking still mid-season 6. Still the same problems that we've mentioned for the last 2 weeks of... Since this season they decided to go episode to episode with one long arc, it gets a little fuzzy as to what happens in each episode, but we're going to do the best we can. However, since we record two of these at a time, there might be a little bit of bleed from, we might forget something this episode and mention it next week, we might mention something next week we should have mentioned this week. We're going to do the best we can, but just so you're aware, I'm going to keep reminding you pretty much every other episode or every episode that that's a potentiality, so don't get too mad. Don't send anything to our houses. Not
you
that
didn't
you know
put our address online, did you?
Doesn't everybody?
No.
What?
Don't.
So I should take it down?
Yes.
But it's 1600 Penn. Just keep sending boxes of poo to 1600 Penn, Washington D.C.
That's fine. Or penises.
Or rubber penises. Or you know, candy penises. Nah, rubber. Send them dildos. Fuck Trump. Anyhow, going on real strong political on our Venture Brothers podcast.
Yeah, I was just thinking, this is the Venture Brothers one, right? It's not like talking political with Brian and Chewy.
Yeah, I mean, didn't you know that next after the hype, the you know pop culture network is starting a new political podcast? That's never going to be us.
We just get in there where we can.
Yeah. Rhapsody in Blue is the week's episode. We are finally into Blue Morpho territory. And
Blue Morpho.
And I am pretty excited. I will do a very quick breakdown so we can kind of move around the episode. Let's hop to it. This episode begins with Rusty being woken up by his old twin brother, younger brother guys.
They're like the same age.
Yeah, they're twins.
One inside the other.
Yeah. His J. Jonah Jr.'s alarm clock, which is just a hologram of himself telling him how great he is and how many things he has to go do. And he's reminded that the Science Now conference is coming up and he needs to have something to present. So he goes down to Billy and White. They say, let's do the God Gas. And they decide to give it to some mice, even though poor Billy's really tired of killing mice. They're going to try it one more time. And then the mice are pretty much forgotten by everybody in the show, but in the background and in little sideways shots, they have quite a journey. Elsewhere, we have Harangutan has decided to start henching Dr. Venture because Wide Whale is, like, loaning out his arching rights. Is that? We'll get into that.
I don't remember that at all.
They mentioned it. That's why it's not, because Wide Whale is his number one arch nemesis, yeah. But other people are arching him, and it's like he loans out the ability. They kind of very briefly just kind of whoop over it, and it makes sense-ish. But Harangutan shows up, tries to kill, or is going to try to fight Venture, and instead gets killed by God Gas, and then gets thrown into the hole in the middle of their floor when the Blue Morpho and Kano shows up, and they try to fight everybody, and the Monarch is having a great time as Blue Morpho and calling everybody citizen, and it's hysterical and awesome. And then 21 accidentally kills Harangutan. And that's pretty much everything that happens in the episode. Oh, when the Blue Morpho saves Billy, Billy gets a good look at him, and since the Monarch had to trim his beard to not look like the Mighty Monarch, he looks a little bit more like Rusty Venture. So now everyone thinks that Rusty is the Blue Morpho. And that is pretty much everything, right?
I think so.
I was trying to follow along with Brock's notes, but then as soon as I realized that Brock also forgot about the mice, I'm like, uh-oh, I think I'm on my own. Oh, I forgot about Brock and Brock and Warriorana hooking up, and that was amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally amazing. So quick,
just the way
around
he
the
just
table.
Goes to the just goes to the door, just the way he knocks on the door is brilliant.
All of it is great. His entire speech is just amazing of like, I want to worship you. It's so good. But really quick, round the table, what do we think about this one? How does it rank with the rest of the season for you so far? What do you guys think?
I think it's great. Again, it just follows on from last week and sets up next week. It's just, I very rarely will watch these ones one at a time, especially season six. I'll go from the start to end of season six, generally. So this is quite difficult for me to just watch it two at a time just to do it, because it's like I want to get to the end of it and then go into the next one. So
yeah, that's when Chu and I were watching last night, we got to the end of it. I'm like, oh, I guess we probably should stop, shouldn't we? Because it really just roll.
Yeah. It's very bingeable.
Yeah.
Since for me with these type of shows, this one stands out. I know this is my first time talking on the show, so I'm going to like do a lot of, I've never been on here before, but Venture Brothers, they keep coming up with new characters and plans and scenarios where a lot of times with other shows where they change location and they have to swap out characters with a whole bunch of new ones, it starts to get dry. It starts to be like uninspired. We're like, ugh, they're running out of gas.
Yeah.
This show just keeps revving up. And for me, this episode is one great example about that. With I forgot her name. Warriana?
Yeah.
Just, I freaking love her.
Oh, she's
great.
You're
telling me that she's Nick's favorite character, like, almost the entirety of the show. And it makes sense, because she is, of like, a female Brock, almost.
Oh, yeah. And she's so much better than, like, the female Brock we got back with the twins episode.
Oh, definitely.
Like, she
Jesus
was funny.
Christ. Yeah, but she was just...
She was a one-off.
I love this episode so much, because you get to see her... Her daytime personality, her persona being a reporter, and just the flip side of him waking up and trying to get out, and she's like, "There's coffee. Oh, you're still here. Get out."
Was that this episode, or is that the next?
That's
one?
Next episode.
This is why I warned about the bleeding.
Ah! sorry. I forgot the episode ended with him just with her.
Yeah.
But especially like, there's a part of it that reminds me a little bit of Pride and Prejudice.
Okay.
When Darcy goes to Elizabeth and professes his love to her.
I've only seen Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, so a lot of this is going over my head.
Well, in the original
Mine
thing,
too.
He goes to her. He's just distraught, and he gets down. He's like, I despite all my best whatevers, I still want you and love you even though you're under me and all this. Like, he gives her this big speech that's terrible because it's just talking about how she's beneath him, but he can't help his desire to sleep with him.
Was that the sword fight in Pride and Prejudice and the Zombies?
No. And this is, like, the opposite. I mean, like, normal Brock would have a hard time professing his love in a good way, probably. He'd probably be kind of like Darcy in doing it just in a terrible way. But since he's under the god gas, he's actually able to be genuinely poetic about his emotions and profess his love so completely. And even though she was skeptical before and kind of dismissive of him, she's like, all right, we're doing this.
I will wear you out, Heracles.
I will break you over my wheel, amazing. Heracles.
I love that she calls him Heracles.
And she just looks I left love that and as right. Well. Like, make sure no one else is in
brave
that
Heracles as well.
Oh, yeah, brave Heracles. Like, brave because he's fucked, both literally and, yeah, he's fucked.
She's probably never gotten such a proposition like that ever before.
I'm sure she's never gotten one that bad, and I'm sure she's never gotten one she's considered as much as she's considered Brock. Like, yeah. Brock is, like, just like he, like, she is for him, it's the first time he's like, holy crap. Like, there's something special about him and Molotov, but this is something completely different. And I feel like it's the same thing for her, and she's doing, like, we'll get into it a little bit
with
next
Molotov,
week.
With Molotov, it was a cat and mouse sort of
exactly,
thing.
Yeah. This one was just, they both see each other like, oh, this is happening. It's kind of like in 30 Rock, like, with Trey and Tracy Jordan and his wife, like, you guys can leave or stay. Either way, it's happening.
I think this might be the first time in Ventura's history that anyone's ever said that it's like Pride and Prejudice as well.
But from the way she just described it, I don't think she's wrong.
No, this is the thing. Like, maybe if I'd have watched Pride and Prejudice ever, I might have seen that as well.
What?
It's also a book.
Oh, come on, man. You're British. This is some of your classic literature here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to do Shakespeare at school.
Like our Huck Finn.
Have you read Huck Finn?
When I was little.
Okay. Well, then you should have read it when you were little, Matt. Jesus, what's wrong with you?
No, I didn't. I read freaking To Kill a Mockingbird when I was at school.
That's our book.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Our book.
The fuck. But we're going to do about some literature now. To Kill a Mockingbird.
Isn't it really annoying when you're reading To Kill a Mockingbird? They don't kill any fucking mockingbirds.
what a misdirect. I was like, worst guide to killing mockingbirds ever.
All right, let's go back to Venture Bros. Let's move on to what I think is my favorite section of the episode. And that's, it's for me, what's the strongest thing in the season beyond the overarching plot, which I love. I love Rusty finally actually working with Billy and White consistently.
Their little brainstorming thing is so funny as well.
But it's one of the things where I didn't realize it till watching it for this show, how much I needed the three of them to always be together. Like, they're always kind of stronger together than they were apart. Like, there's something great about Billy and Pete, and always something great about Rusty. But the three of them together, it's like, oh, you guys were friends. And they write it just like that. Like, just their bantering back and forth is just perfect.
Yeah, especially like with Billy's little things, like, I'm so sick of killing mice.
But he's mad that he's sick of killing mice.
Yeah, he doesn't feel like a good scientist. Scientists have no problem killing mice, but it's not just killing mice. He keeps blowing them up.
Yeah, because they keep making livers.
I love how excited Rusty is. Like, it grows back a liver. Now we're talking. Yeah, the problem is it just keeps growing livers.
Like,
which, if you think
that would be
a really good thing, though, because you could have like a couple of people having that. They keep growing livers, they just keep taking them out, and then, you know.
I mean, that's a shitty job.
It's a shitty job, but, you know.
Honestly, I would have pursued that one.
That'd be prisons. That's what they should do in prisons.
Science wants to make like lab grown meat. So why couldn't they just grow a meat slab that can contain a whole bunch of livers?
Yeah, I agree. I think they abandoned the liver thing a little too quickly and moved on to mind control gas, which is also a great moment when the two of them just say it in unison, mind control gas, and just Pete's just, you guys are so cool.
The thing is, though, the reason they move on is pure Rusty as well, because it's not ready. He didn't want to do any work. He just wanted something he could pick up and go, here it is, like he always does. And so that's why they moved on from what could have been a very good idea, because it wasn't ready. It wasn't finished. I mean, like, well, the first time they're working together, always... and He's literally going through all of Jonas's old shit, saying, what can I use to palm off as my own thing? Have we got anything in here that I can just, like, you know, take out of the box and just sell?
Which is so weird, especially because, like, didn't we just, like, 2 weeks ago have a whole thing about how he wants to be a better scientist?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then, but, like,
and then
two
he just
weeks
fall on
steps.
Yeah, I guess
it's not going to be instant.
He's working his way
and,
up to
and
it.
Rusty just has those urges where he's never really interested in helping people. He's interested in being flashy, and he's kind of always been a little more interested in, like, the bigger things, right?
Yeah, but that's the thing, is like he just said he wanted to be a super scientist not that long ago, and then we get here, and it's like, well, what have you super scientists done for me that I can just pawn off? Oh, God, gas? Sign me up.
Yeah. It's a slow process.
It's a very slow process. I don't think we'll ever see full-blown scientist Rusty, except for the alternate reality Rusty that came out and, like,
had his Broadway show.
Yeah, had his Broadway show. A hit show on Broadway. And a whole head of hair.
In season 7, he's got that really good invention that works.
That's true.
Which we'll get to in season 7.
Yeah, we got a ways to get there.
You'll get to it. I probably won't be on.
So this is still current, not there, Rusty.
Yeah. And even then, it still's like, he's better.
Baby steps.
Yeah, he's getting there. But yeah, I love the brainstorming session. I especially love it because the one thing that they have that I honestly think would be probably the best thing there is it works and people would want it. It's their washing machine.
Yeah.
And I love
just,
that the only...
It's just that line that no appliances have been down that road before. Dead end. And it was all because of the vacuum cleaner that leaked radiation that immediately cleaned up the radiation.
Because it was that good of a vacuum cleaner. Yeah. I honestly think Rescue was onto something there. But seriously, like, okay, sure. Will this washing machine leak radiation? Let's just test that really. No? Okay, let's release it because you could charge.
It's just quiet, right?
It's silent.
Silent.
Think about it. We were just, before we started recording, we were wondering if our washing machine was going to ruin our recording.
It's true.
We would buy it. It's actually not a bad idea. But poor Pete, it's like the one good thing Pete has come up with. But even Pete's just like, downside, it's a washing machine.
It's not exciting.
It's not exciting, but it's practical. It
yeah,
would
I mean,
have
like,
worked.
Think about the washing machine, mind control gas. There's two different things of excitement there.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, thinking like Rusty, it's 100% mind control gas.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way he goes any other way. All right, Matt, you haven't interjected with anything that you really liked about the episode. What sticks out the most to you before we get to Blue Morpho? I know that's probably what we're going to
do. I was literally going to talk about Blue Morpho, but yeah. I'll go in with something else.
I think there's two things that we're missing personally, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, there's Harangutan.
That's one of the two, and Blue Morpho's the other two. We're on the same page.
Yeah, he's just so great. It's like... Just a little introduction of him where Hatred's like, we've got a hostage situation, and Brock's like, who's the hostage? And he's like, that would be me. And the camera move where it pans around, you just see Harangutan standing there with a gun at Hatred's head. It's just such an awesome shot, is that.
It's a great shot and great designed villain who might be part ape.
Yeah, and then the best thing about this entire episode for me in terms of Harangutan has got to be the thing of like, him and Brock are literally just shouting at each other for ages, then Warrior Iron just comes up and just knocks him on the back of the head. And there's like, hey, what did you do that for? It's like, oh, you two would have been still screaming at each other until the cows came home or something like that.
Brock's just having fun with these villains at this point.
Brock is finally able to do the job he always wanted to do.
Fight random people?
No, he wanted to be like a level 10. Like he wanted to be as high up as he could, and he was stuck with Rusty, who was basically a nobody. And now he's back with Rusty and doing the job he wants. So he gets to be in the family he wants and doing the job he wants. He's living his life.
Yeah.
He's having a great time.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, they talk about this sort of idea in season 6. There's a lot of like villain of the week type situations mm-hmm. as well. So like Harangutan's one of those. You've got next week's, which is Think Tank, and then the other ones and all that stuff. And they were sort of saying that they'd avoided it initially because to them, Venture Brothers was never a superhero show. So in the first season, whenever they went to invent a new character, they just kept thinking, well, anyway, why are we trying to invent new characters? We've got the Monarch. Let's just use the Monarch. He's a great character. Let's just keep using the Monarch. But when it came to season 6, they wanted a bit more conflict in the season. And moving it to New York allowed them to open things up a little bit more to bring in these like villain of the week things. But the key to it that they sort of realized was never making the villain of the week the A plot. They always had to be like B or C plot, because it just wouldn't be that interesting if it was the A plot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's got to be something that sort of it's just in the background, something going on whilst the actual A plot's going on. Because it would just turn into that kind of show of like, oh, who's the villain of the week this week?
Yeah, it'd be like an Arrowverse show at a certain point.
Yeah,
because the drama is in the relationships.
Yeah.
And the villain of the week is more like the fun dressing. This is cute. Pay attention to this a little bit. But really what we care about is the interpersonal relationships. Especially with the monarch and his wife.
Yeah, no, I think totally. All right, I think we should probably just move on. I mean, there's very little to say about Harangutang other than he's an awesome designed character, and
is ridiculous.
His name is hysterical.
Do you know what? I nearly forgot to mention this. It's just popped in my head right now. Are there any of you played Borderlands 2?
No, I've only played Borderlands 1.
There's a character in Borderlands 2. It's a side mission, and it's one of the easiest side missions you can do. And the guy is called Shooty McFaceface or something like that. McShooty Face or something like that. And it's basically a guy just going, shoot me in the face, shoot me in the face, in the face, in the face, shoot me in the face. And you the mission is you go up to him and you talk to him, and all you have to do is shoot him in the face. And Harangutang reminds me of that so much, because he's there going, strike me, strike me. I was watching that thinking, oh my God, that's McShooty Face.
That's kind of awesome.
Does he get more powerful if you hit him?
Or no, you shoot him in the face and his head explodes, and then he just goes, thank you! That's the end of the side mission.
I think Borderlands 2. I really should play it.
Yeah. It's great. But I think with Harangutang, it just reminded me of that so much, because it's just that mental craziness of him that he's just like, yeah, come on, strike me, strike me. And I think he wants to find someone. His sort of ultimate quest in life, from what I've interpreted it, is finding someone who can beat him up, and he's not managed to.
Well, he found 21. Like, 21 got him.
Yeah. Accidentally. Yes. And probably only because he was on the god gas, to be fair.
Oh, totally. I mean, 21 can handle
21
his own.
Doesn't
but...
want to kill anybody, though.
No, he's not a murderer. He just kills people.
Not on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Not a murderer. He just kills people.
It's an accident.
Yeah. He's a manslaughterer. That sounds so much worse.
And to be fair, with the Monarch / Blue Morpho and Kano 21, they kind of were on a date, honestly.
Oh, they kind of were.
They went out together. Yeah.
They got all dressed up.
They went out and had fun. They did like an activity together, and then they went home. And, you know, they got a little too excited, and their car got towed, you know, after, you know, any, like, decent date.
So we've never had a decent date because I've never gotten a car towed.
No, because we've never gotten so schlosh that we put the car in the wrong spot.
Damn. Well, so much for that.
So when they get home, and we haven't really talked about like all their motivation yet.
I know. We're saving Blue Morpho for last.
Oh.
So here we are.
Oh, here we are. I fucking love the design of the Blue Morpho's cave. It is straight up Batman.
Oh, yeah. It's Adam West.
It's Adam West.
Yeah.
Making fun of... Do they make fun of the old tech in this episode?
I don't remember.
Don't even have internet.
I think that's next episode.
That's the next one.
Honestly, I don't remember, because this is the episode where he finds out about his dad. So yeah, it must be the next episode.
Yeah, it's the next episode because
they're going around.
The same episode where he rings the uses the red phone as well.
That's right. Yep.
He finds
the mayor's office.
Yeah.
Just the entire thing of them, of him convincing him to put on the Blue Morpho outfit to get rid of the other villains.
Yeah.
Then they get put on the outfits, so they realize they don't fit. So then a montage of him sewing and tailoring the outfits to fit them perfectly.
Don Oddsley opening credits is so good as well, with that voiceover.
Oh yeah, I love that.
Using skills learned from his home economics class.
They're important. Stay in school.
Kano makes major adjustments to the Blue Morpho outfits.
But I do love like the one thing in this episode we really haven't talked much about beyond just the Blue Morpho is I love more stuff about the Monarch's dad, especially the Monarch and Rusty's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime like they start hinting at more of that, and that really you get the first like major clip of them together as, oh, they were definitely friends.
Yeah.
Like, not just like, oh, they might have known each other, like we could have had before back with the photo that we saw of like the Rusty and the Monarch as kids together. Like, oh no, like their dads were really good friends, like orgy friends.
Wasn't that the next episode? Or is that the end
of this
one?
That's the beginning of this one, because that's how he gets convinced to put on the suit.
Yeah.
He's watching the video.
Jackson Publick wanted more of that as well. He wanted more of those little flashbacks. I was reading the book. He says about wanting to do more of those because he really liked exploring that a bit more. But there just wasn't enough space in any of the other episodes to do any of those.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer. But I think, I like what we have, though. So at least there's that.
Yeah.
All right, I think it's time to move into favorite performances. You guys ready for that?
I am, yeah.
All right, my favorite performance will undoubtedly go to, oh, fuck, what's his name? How do I always forget his name? I know this actor's name. It's going to kill me.
Oh.
Patrick Warburton as Brock Sampson. Has to go to him for his speech to Warriana. Like, just that alone, he wins. 100%.
Well, there's that and the rant at Hank as well.
Oh, yeah, that entire sequence is wonderful as well when he's trying to teach Hank how to kiss a woman. It's great. This is better. Just his entire speech. It's just, especially because you get the speech earlier about how to move in on a woman like a cobra. And then by the end of
creepy.
By the end of the episode, he is falling down just like, just use me. Like, just so the opposite of what he told Hank to do. And it's just, he nails both scenes perfectly. Warburton definitely takes the prize for me this week.
Yeah. I mean, I could have quite easily have said Warburton for Brock in this as well, but I've already said him before, and I'm trying to not duplicate.
Fair enough.
So for me, this week it's going to be Kate McKinnon for Warriana, because she's just fantastic in that role. And even like the just sort of the way, the just the deadpan way she just goes, "And you brought me a corpse, how thoughtful."
Oh, it's so good.
It's she's brilliant in it. And it's just astounding like how many different voices she's done in this series and how none of them sound anything alike. You have voice actors sometimes where it's like, oh, you can kind of tell that's that person. Oh, you can kind of tell that's that person.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you look
none
at...
None of these.
So in this episode, Paul F. Tompkins. Like, I love Paul F. Tompkins, but anytime he does a voice, it's Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah. H. John Benjamin.
Yeah, same thing. Great voice actors. I'm not saying they're not, but they're not Kate McKinnon, who every time she does a role, she's completely lost it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chewy, what about you? Favorite performance?
I have to go with Kate McKinnon, too. I mean, I love her.
It's a solid choice.
And I never can guess when she's doing a voice. Like you were saying, like, you don't really hear those hints, kind of like with Doc Hammer. You're like, Doc Hammer's doing another person.
Yeah, every time Doc Hammer does a voice, it's like, oh, that one's Doc. I sometimes get him and Jackson mixed up, but I can usually pick out their two voices.
So. And it's great.
All right. That's pretty much everything for this week, then. Let's do a quick round of plugs, and then we're going to say goodbye. Be sure to listen to every show on the HH Network, starting with us on Mondays, moving to Samwise on Tuesdays. Nothing like a little bit of Demon Days on Wednesdays. I'm going to start doing Mambo Number 5. I can feel it coming. ATH on Thursdays and Damage Boost on Fridays. A lot of great episodes coming out recently. I recently guested on Damage Boost. We talked about the infamous Uwe Boll and how fucking awful he is. Brock got real fired up, and Brock is not the type of guy to get fired up. I mean, he's just more of a mellow guy. And then talking about Uwe Boll, that took him there. Whew. So that was a ton of fun talking to Brock about that one. We had a great time. So if you like our show, remember, we don't know all the stuff we know without Brock. So go support his show, Damage Boost.
Yeah.
Then every Monday, be sure to read Emily Blake's articles of other voices, because those are just great. And I think today, if you look on our website, she has an article about the Babadook.
Babadook.
So be sure to check that out. And I'll let Matt plug his own articles.
Yeah, so last Friday, the Stargate SG-1 part of my monster Stargate article series came out. and within 5 minutes of me tweeting it, it got liked by the guy who played Apophis in the series.
Nice.
Which was awesome. I saw that that was like the first like I saw. I was like, okay, yeah, Apophis likes it. And he was always my favourite villain from that series. Like, just the way he said his own name. It's like, Apophis. And then, of course, they do the flange and everything. But he said, like, the way the words that the gold used, they're just like, he was the one who set the standard of how you say those words. Like, Shova, and things like that. But this Friday coming out is the third part, which covers Stargate Atlantis. And, yeah, that's just as good as SG-1, in my opinion, the series. The characters are not the same. Like, going into it as a new series, looking at it, you could sort of see, oh, well, there's the O'Neill, there's the Carter, there's the Teal, blah, 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 blah. But you actually get watching it, and it's like, no, these are really different characters. They're not, it's like, you know, you have the leader, the scientist, and that, but they're not the same characters. And it's been really good fun doing all the research, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be sad to not be reading up on this stuff. But then so again, I'm just going to start watching the series.
And now you're going to start your epic 10-part article on Doctor Who, right?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man.
To find every episode.
I mean,
unearth the ones that have been lost.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, if you think your Stargate was challenging, where's your Doctor Who article? You got like 55 years of TV to cover, Matt. I mean, come on, hop to it.
Luckily, back in the day, the seasons were very sparse.
Articles aren't going to write themselves, man. I expect a draft on my desk on Monday of your 10-part Doctor Who. Fuck, that'd be brutal.
That would be horrible. Although I am going to Star Trek convention that I went to last year. I'm going to it again this year.
Awesome.
So I'm planning on doing another article about that because I've paid for a slightly more expensive ticket and I'm going to basically try and compare the two and see if it was worth it.
Nice. So more stuff to look out for on our website. Chewy, anything to plug?
Watch Superstar on NBC Thursday nights.
That's right.
Yeah.
I really like it. So far your season's been great.
Yeah, it has been.
It's been really funny. I like the Glenn robot, especially when they try to kill the Glenn robot, and the Glenn robot's like, It's fantastic.
Yeah. You know, the Superstore actually has a secret tie-in with Terminator.
Perfect. It makes sense.
Spoilers.
I mean, you clearly tried to use the theme music and then couldn't afford it.
Did me? I didn't actually watch that episode myself.
It was pretty awesome.
Is that robot based on those, what are they called, Marties or something like that are in some stores now? Have you heard about them?
Well, it's just the gag of, you know, stores having robots.
Yeah, that's what, because there actually is, like, actual robots in, that people have been fucking with as well, from what I've heard as well. They've been, like, putting boxes around them, so the Marty don't know what to do, so it just keeps going in a circle.
All right, I think I need to step away now. Not you, Matt.
Okay, so if you can hear him being picked up, you can hear your podcast is done alarm going off. So I guess we should probably say goodbye as our son has woken up from his nap. So thank you everyone for listening. Be sure to tune in next week when we do Tanks for Nothing, another wonderful episode. I'm so excited to talk about it. All right. Bye. Chewie's saying bye from the other room. Did it.